WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Today, we pay tribute to a local and international legend, Chicagoan Steve Albini, who died this week at the age of 61. You may not recognize his name, but you've definitely heard his work. Albini wasn't a TV host or pop superstar. He was a recording engineer and worked on albums that you probably love, like the music of Nirvana, the Poster Children, and the Foo Fighters. It can be a little bit of an invisible job, but it's not a role that goes unnoticed. So I sat down with WBEZ engineer Dave Miska for more on the impact of Albini's work on music engineers. Miska starts with who Albini was for him.
Well, you know, if you're Gen X like me, and I'm in the meaty part of Gen X, my age, I'm 52.
Okay.
So he made records that, that was when I was young. It was I was in the punk scene, the indie rock scene here, you know, back in my early 20s all the way through now. But he made these huge records that are still influencing people. Nirvana's In Utero album, the Pixies, Surfer Rosa, PJ Harvey's, you know, Rid of Me. These are these monster albums that influenced artists today still.
Yeah.
So, you know, engineers, the invisible part of it is, yeah, there's a lot of different recording engineers, but those records would not be the same without his ears. Like if I mixed it, you know, being a recording engineer, it might still be a cool record.
Yeah.
But it's not that record.
So he really spoke to that generation that you brought up, but his impact is long lasting.
Yeah, absolutely long lasting. You take, you know, PJ Harvey, you wouldn't have Phoebe Bridgers, or you wouldn't have, you wouldn't have, you know, Rosie Tucker, these artists that, you know, are big today.
Yeah.
That kicked doors open for artists, you know, 20, 30 years later.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
He was more than a recording engineer. He was also in a band. So here's Albini in 2007 talking about his band, Chillak.
For us, the band is normal life. Like, what we're doing within the band is not something that we do in secret. We're not playing dress up. We're not...
Sometimes.
We're allowing the people in the audience to have the same sort of interaction with us that our friends and our family and stuff do. Nice to be able to have a conversation with people rather than to just sort of be expected to do circus tricks or whatever, you know.
Dave, what's your favorite album that he engineered?
You know, there's some interesting ones. I was going back and forth on, like, the Poster Children's Daisy Chain Reaction, which is still a mind-blowing record to me. But one that's, I think, will surprise a lot of people is a record that got nominated for Best Folk Album, believe it or not. Robbie Fulks, local singer-songwriter, did a record called Upland Stories. This is Aunt Peg's New Old Man. I think it's gorgeous.
Let's listen.
We came up the hill to meet him in the dirt patch. He was weeding. That was our first look at Aunt Peg's new old man. Uncle Hank was 75. He lived well and then he died. And none of us had nothing against her new old man. She likes fiddling, no doubt, liked his help on the rural route, and the rest didn't bear thinking about Aunt Peg's new old man.
I gotta say, this is a different sound than that punk and rock that most folks would associate with him.
Absolutely. And at the time I was recording some stuff I was really proud of, and then I listened to this album with headphones and said, oh God, I'm never gonna catch him. He was just one of those guys. He was that good. And I think that record surprised a lot of people because it did get nominated for a Grammy in a folk category, not indie rock or alternative, you know, so it's kind of a different thing that people wouldn't necessarily expect from him.
Yeah. Well, WBEZ producer Joe Dassault once said about Albini that he was one of the most ethical people that he'd ever met in the world of music, which is such an underrated compliment, I think.
It was Steve Albini's philosophy not to exploit other people's art for your own personal profit. He looked at what recording engineers do as like we're a plumber or we're a photographer, you know, for your wedding. It's not our wedding, you know. You pay us to do a service. So like when he did the Nirvana record, instead of taking a producer's point on it, where he would still be getting royalties till this day, took a flat rate. And just said, that's not my song. I'm capturing your art. And I, you know, so I really believe in that. I think that's something that a lot of people wouldn't do.
Well, he's also been called a hater with a capital H. Was that your impression, Dave?
Hater Hall of Fame. Like, you know, for example, he called Liz Phair a fraud. Liz Phair, who had a record in 1993 called Exile in Guyville, which to me is one of the most, probably one of the top three indie alternative records of that decade. In a huge piece of feminist art, and he's still called her a fraud.
Oh, wow.
See, you know, he could be a bit of a grenade thrower. Like, I'd say he'd throw a grenade into a crowded room and see what the explosion would bring out. He was the smartest guy in the room most of the time, and just ask him, he would tell you.
Bluntly.
Yeah, but he could also be generous. He was incredibly funny. He loved baseball, a good cup of coffee. A conversation about recording could go 2 days with him, you know. So he's an interesting dude. Complicated person. Yeah, gone too soon, absolutely.
That's WBEZ engineer Dave Miska on the loss of Steve Albini, a renowned pioneer music engineer and producer from Chicago, who died this week at just 61 years old. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and edited by Meha Ahmed, and it was mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To catch more conversations like these, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.